Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Plenty of ways to kill an hour out there. Right now, you're killing some time with us. Yes. My name's Marcus Bronzy.
I am Funk Butcher. Sounds like a theme tune to Animaniacs or something.
I think that's because we didn't need intro music.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need intro music. Do you know that one? That's our own dubplate special.
Built in auto tune.
So we get sent loads of things on how to kill an hour to try out. Sometimes we get sent places. This week, we have been sent the Withings HR Steel watches. Now, they are smartwatches, which are also, they do a number of things which we'll get into. Mm. I'm going to say off the bat, I came into this whole situation of having to try these in a very biased state of mind,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not a fan of having to wear anything that I don't necessarily need.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like smartwatches, when they first came out from Apple, I was like, they're offering us something that we genuinely don't really need, because all of the information that you've got on these smartwatches, I can get by just popping my hand in my pocket and mm-hmm. getting out my smartphone. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of this, and I've shared it on the show a number of times that I'm not very cool with it. Mm. What were your thoughts when you first found out that you're going to be trying out this Steel HR watch?
I shared the same sentiments. I mean, in the conversation we had with Lucy Hedges when she was on the show, I expressed my feelings that I wasn't a big watch wearer to begin with. So this category of tech known as wearables, I felt it was a poor attempt to try and force technology into every aspect of our waking lives. And again, I was again of the belief that why do you need more of the same? Mm. You have your iPhone, you have your watch phone, you have your watch iPhone,
trainer phone,
I watch
headphone phone,
yeah.
You're trying to mug phone.
You've got glasses doing what your phone does.
TV phone.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's just too much. So again, before trying on the Withings
HR Steel
wearable, I was I wasn't too convinced.
Yeah. So we got them, and I thought,
and it's, I think it's very important that I kind of emphasize that I wasn't a fan until I put it on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I funk.
And now I can't take it off.
We got to.
Yeah.
Because Withings won it back. Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Cheers.
No, but thank you for the experience, because...
Thank you for teasing us.
Yeah. No, seriously. Thank you for the experience, because I am converted. I've been to church and Withings have baptized me.
Well, let's talk.
They have shown me the way.
Let's talk through...
If loving Withings is wrong, I don't want to be right.
So let's talk through what it does first. So thing is, because smart tech or wearables can do so much of what a phone does now, mm-hmm. it's kind of what it can do and what it can't do and why, really. Because the Withings can do certain things and it can't do others.
And I think that's the important thing. I feel like if we didn't have that part of the conversation, then we'd kind of be perpetuating and enforcing the fact that wearable tech is supposed to do exactly the same as what your iPhone does, and it isn't. Exactly. They're supposed to kind of fill in the gaps in between and build mm-hmm. that bridge.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so it's got the HR monitor mm-hmm. with automatic exercise detection, so it can actually detect your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mess with that? I had a little go of it. Yeah. I mean, because you use your smartwatch for different things. I mean, I walk every day.
That's the one I was more interested in. How many steps? I've yeah. never really had a step counter
yeah.
until now. I've never had the Fitbit or anything like that. So, yeah. Looking at the step counter was quite interesting. I was like, oh, I'm quite fit, am I?
Yeah, yeah. Were you hitting your steps?
Yeah, I was hitting my steps
every day. So there's, yeah, the heart rate monitor, which, if I'm honest, the steps monitor was good.
Mm-hmm.
The heart rate monitor is just interesting to look at. I don't really focus on my heart rate. I don't do heart rate set mm-hmm. workouts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, certain people are like, yeah, I have to get my heart rate to 95 yeah. and keep yeah. it there for yeah. 5 minutes. Yeah. I don't do that. But mm-hmm. if you want to do that, I guess that's cool. It's got the activity tracker. So mm-hmm. for me, it was working out without me even, because you can press it to say, right, I'm doing exercise now, if you hold the little button on it. But I kind of like the little button that you usually use to wind up your watch, yeah. The only button on it.
Yeah.
I realized that when I was going for walks and stuff like that, it would automatically note them down yeah. in the app yeah. as well. And it yeah. also connects to one of my other fitness apps, which is a nutrition app,
yeah.
automatically,
yeah.
my lifestyle fitness app as well. Let me just,
on the iPhone.
Yeah, the iPhone mm-hmm. app, which is... if you search for it, because you might want to check this out, it's great for your nutrition. My Fitness Pal, that's it. My mm-hmm. Fitness Pal app, which we'll put a link to this in the show description as well.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out as well, because that does all my nutrition stuff, mm-hmm. and the Withings app kind of does all my exercise app. And because it monitors your steps, it can also do this thing called negative calorie adjustment. So if I had a day where I literally just sat on my ass, it would say, oh, actually, maybe you need to eat just a little bit less today.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit less today, all right,
mm-hmm,
man.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's that was that part of it. I mean, again, at that point, I was still skeptical, bruv. I was still skeptical because I was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was like, I wore it for a couple of days. I was like, let me leave it on for a week and see how I feel.
Yeah,
because we've had these for a while. And after wearing it for a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and I started messing with other features like the notifications and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I started to feel like, ah, there is some use for this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the notifications for it lets you know when someone's calling or has texted you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd also like it to let me know when there's WhatsApps as well.
Mm-hmm.
Please add that in. Or calendar events. But all you can do is be notified. You can't, like with the iWatch, answer it or message back.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that because what it does is sometimes I'm in the studio, put my phone in the other room, I can see that I've got a call in and I can be like, ah, I'll leave it. Whereas if I'm in the room with my phone, I'll be like, you know what? I might answer it.
Yeah. And I think that it is perfect for someone who is actually kind of in that line of work where you do have back-to-back meetings and you want to be notified, but you don't want to be interrupted, kind of thing. And the kind of like a subtle nudge through a watch, it is the most, how can I put it? It's the most well-mannered way that you can kind of continue your meeting without kind of disrupting it, without having to pull out your phone or having the phone anywhere near you, realistically. I mean, we're in an age now where meetings should be kind of like proper engagement and the phone has kind of like destroyed that over recent years and decades. So having a subtle nudge that when you finish this conversation that you can have to call back that person or text back that person is really helpful.
Yeah, it is. And plus, it doesn't look like a smartwatch. Like, when I can be in a meeting.
The design.
Yeah, when I'm in a meeting with someone with a smartwatch and they look and it lights up and they look at it, I'm like, I know you're reading a fucking WhatsApp while we're talking, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're looking at your, I know you're reading a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Even they might just be looking at the time, but who knows?
Yeah.
But it might be a like little reminder, take your vitamins.
Yeah.
But with this, the design of it is that it looks like an actual normal watch.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It just,
the design is like very classic. I mean, how would you describe the look of the face, Frank?
It's exactly that. It's very classic. It doesn't give anything away that there's any kind of tech involved because you actually have to kind of activate the button, which is the kind of the knob you normally use to kind of set the hands.
Knob.
Knobs. To set the hands By pressing that, that's when the kind of the LED display comes up. But other than that, it just looks like a normal classic analog watch. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really like the strap on it as well. I'm a strap guy. Pause. But
what I heard.
Hey, and it's just a real classic look to it, and I feel like that's where they've kind of won with this market. In terms of wearables, in my perspective, because you have something that you actually want to wear.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like, hi, I got a smartwatch.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to be like. I don't know why, but I feel like that.
The thing is, there's obviously a market of tech geeks out there who are the kind of people who want everyone to know what they... It's the difference between someone who goes to a designer shop and gets the Gucci... shirt, or the Moschino shirt, and it has Gucci in 50 different words, all emblazoned all over the front, the back, and everything. And the person who buys the same shirt, same price, with it just on the inside of the collar. So, I guess there is a market for wearable tech for the more subtle consumer, and I think this is for them.
Yeah, and it's got the heads-up display of the fitness tracker as well. So basically, there's this little dial at the bottom that says 1 to 100, 0 to 100, and it shows you how much you've got for your steps of the day.
Okay.
So I like that. I mean, just seeing a little visual, oh, gosh, I only done 3/4 of what I need to do today. Let me go. Yeah. No going into an app.
Yeah.
No going into doing anything. No. You don't have to press a button.
No.
And like you said, it's got that classic look. I mean, the ones we got, they were black face. Was your black face as well?
Yeah.
Black face with a little chrome dial on it. Lucy Hedges saw this the other week when she came for the show, and she's like, she'd like the bigger face one. Apparently there's one with a bit of a bigger face. I'm probably like, I mean, the strap for me, I wouldn't mind a metal strap.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind something a bit more like classic in that sense, because I don't know, rubber strap. I don't know. Yeah. But that's just me being finicky.
Rubber straps.
and yeah, if you don't connect it to Bluetooth, you don't get the notifications, but it still does its recording. So when you do connect it to the app, it lets you know everything.
Yeah. I feel like increasingly as well, we're in a market now where a lot of people are more health conscious and body conscious with the rise of the vegans.
Yes.
Yeah. And so things like the Withings watch allow people to kind of make subtle adjustments to the lifestyle.
Exactly.
Because obviously the watch is more attached to you than your phone that's in your pocket, and it can take better readings of you. It is like walking around with a thermometer in your mouth. So
it's got a heart rate monitor on it, and you get little bits of information that you can decide whether it's useful to you or not. Like, I kind of found out that on average over the last week, I looked at the sleep tracker, I've been getting an hour less on average, and it's like,
okay,
bruv, just take a little bit more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
No big like alarms going off or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You did a bit more exercise, well done, but you need to get an extra hour of sleep. And I was like, you know what? Cool. Mm-hmm. I will have an extra hour of sleep now.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps tabs on your health and fitness. And man, I'm happy. I got a couple niggles with it though.
Go on.
No, and I don't know if this would drain the battery, because the battery is really good. Yeah. I've charged mine once fully.
Okay.
2.5 weeks ago, and charged it fully like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
One niggle is it doesn't have the location in it. You have to connect it to your phone for it to get the location data when you're exercising. So even though it gets my steps, I prefer it to have like a something that tracked my movement if I wanted it to. Okay. So it could just give me accurate, you know, speed and stride and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know about you, but when I was charging it, it doesn't really sit on the charger as easily as I'd like it to.
Mm.
Like, I'd like to just drop it on the charger and it clicks in.
Yeah.
But I feel like it doesn't feel as it secures in when it charges, because you literally take the watch off and place it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a bit like, I could do it a bit of a firmer click.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose if you're only charging it once every 2-3 weeks, compared to if I had to charge it like that every day, I'd be fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how long an iWatch lasts for. I mean, I can Google how long an Apple iWatch lasts for.
Just playing devil's advocate, I guess their answer to that is that maybe they wouldn't want to put all those attributes within one product.
Maybe
they can make a product which had a little bit more.
Yeah.
A premium model.
Yeah. Okay, so the Apple Watch says 18 hours of life compared to this, where you get weeks at a time. So yeah, so but yeah.
I guess that Apple Watch would probably be getting a hell lot more notifications than this one, because it has probably a lot more stuff synced to the actual iPhone. So it probably would run down the battery life a lot more.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess so. Plus, yeah, if you can do a lot more with it, you will. Mm. But I mean, after wearing it for a while, it is a bit nicer just to look at my wrist and see what time it is.
Yeah.
Or a little notification comes up saying you've got a meeting in an hour. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Without me having to open my phone.
Exactly.
And I do leave it in the other side of the office sometimes so that I can only go to it if it's an urgent call.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if I, so I'm not tempted, because I will be tempted. If your phone's there and a message comes and you read it, you're like, oh, fuck it, I'll message back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was happy with it. I liked it.
Health is wealth.
Health is wealth.
What's the price point on this?
I just closed the tab. At the moment, it's cost from, oh wow, that's, I need a bit more information. About £180 for the big face.
Mm-hmm.
The one which we tried out, 10 or less, £169. That's in English pounds, so it'd be a little bit more in dollars. Yeah, and I'm pretty happy with it, man. I just did its job. Did its job. Waterproof as well, 50 meters, so you can take a shower in it too.
Nice.
Only problem is we're not keeping these. We're sending these back. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers, Withings, who actually are owned by Nokia.
Mm.
So Nokia's still around doing their thing.
Yes.
So lemonade. Do you like lemonade, Funk?
I love lemonade.
You're actually currently drinking is that a 7-Up?
Yep.
Is that lemonade technically? Or is it different? Is it lemonade with lime?
Lemon, lime and bubbles.
I used to think lemonade.
Yeah.
I used to think 7-Up and Sprite.
I think Sprite is lemonade.
I used to think they were both the same thing. I couldn't differentiate. It wasn't until someone made me realise that there was a slight limey difference. I realised. So,
do you know what I hate? Sorry, I've just had a swig of my 7-Up. I hate when you say that you go to a drive through or a fast food restaurant, and you say, "Oh, can I have lemonade, please?" Oh, you mean 7-Up?
They have to do that though.
Why?
Because you could say you want lemonade, and you get served 7-Up, and you're like, "Nah, that's not what I asked for. I asked for Sprite." Oh, you got asked for Sprite, and they have to tell you. So, like, you know, when you go to certain places and they say the Coke, and there's a sign, the Coke we sell is Pepsi.
Yeah, but they knew what I meant. They're just being pedantic.
They have to. If you go to America and ask for lemonade, that's still lemon drink, though. You have to ask for Sprite,
even if it's Aid at the end.
Yeah, lemonade is still in the States.
Okay.
So you go to the States. You go, can I have a vodka lemonade? They go, really? You want a vodka and lemonade? Like, hell yeah. Then it comes and you've got a still lemonade with a shot of vodka in it and you feel like a plum.
Okay.
You got to say Sprite. You got to specify Sprite.
But I'm in this country and I mean, I'm like, they're still fucking with me. So.
like, fuck it. I'm in the UK. Well, how would you like to send somebody a lemonade through the internet?
I'd rather drink it myself, but yeah, go on.
Somebody's worked out the technology where you can get a sensor, which you dip into your lemonade. And then what it does is at one side of the internet, and what it does is the other side of the internet, at the receiving end, there is a glass which has LEDs in it, which simulates the color of the lemonade. Yeah. Okay. Which is, if it is a lemony lemonade, like an American lemonade, it's a bit yellowy.
Yeah.
And it also.
Oh, like a cloudy lemonade.
Cloudy lemonade. And then as well as that, it also does one more thing, which I know as soon as I say it, you're going to be a little bit. Where about it?
Go on.
They reproduce the sourness by stimulating the drinker's taste buds with electrodes in the glass. So the electrodes give you that zing of lemonade. So I could send like a flavor of a drink, like, hey, the Fanta to you, and it'll give you the zing of the orange.
Because it's replicating the...
Is this really selling lemonade, or is this just selling you electrified water?
Yeah.
Carbonated electrified water.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of sending someone a drink.
You should just like the idea of manipulating sensations in people's mouths.
Yeah, you might. Yeah. How good would that be if you're zero calorie? You're drinking water and it tastes kind of zingy. Let's move on. So we've brought this up on the show.
Yeah.
Another How to Kill an Hour first.
Mm-hmm.
That has actually come to real life. It seems there's going to be a reduction in the time that a movie is in the cinema to when it transitions into your house. So Warner Brothers, there's talks about them being comfortable with releasing a film 2 weeks after release for a premium rate. So for $50, Warner Brothers are thinking of letting you get a film, renting it, getting it in your house 2 weeks after films come out. There's talks about Fox saying 30 to 40 day turnaround for $30. Universal haven't had given a price tag yet, but it's suggesting 20 days. So we're talking 3 weeks after a film's out in the cinema, you can rent it for a premium rate.
Yeah,
I think this is a knee-jerk reaction. Not knee-jerk, a reaction to Netflix releasing a lot of films.
Yeah.
And we'll get onto Netflix after this.
Yeah.
So
I said something a few episodes back when we spoke of not Netflix, when iTunes were considering doing their own kind of video service. And I said, this is going to mark the end of Hollywood. This is what I said, because once you kind of get into like a realm of ticket sales and turnstile sales being affected, like, how do you calculate turnstile sales in the space of 3 weeks now?
You only get 3 weeks of turnstile sales. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Or you go on first weekend or first week.
But obviously some films have like the ability to have like extended release and like some big titles. I think Star Wars was out for like a good month or so, longer, like 5 weeks, like if it's really doing well. But now that's not going to happen. So I feel like we're living in an age now similar to music, whereby you can't compare the sales of this era and that era anymore.
Yeah,
based on what is happening in the marketplace.
100%, because it's easier to consume the product, which means that more people will get it. So for example, I know there's a lot, it's going to piss people off. So if it does piss you off, oh well. I try to tell people when I'm having conversations that you can't compare Taylor Swift's or Ed Sheeran's sales to Michael Jackson's sales, because people had to physically go out and get those records. So 100 million records sold by him is not the same as 100 million download sales or whatever streams it takes to quantify that. Like, you can get enough streams to quantify 100 million downloads at some point. It will happen, no doubt, because it's different. So you're
like
right,
that sounds like a feasible argument to me. I mean, what problem would they have,
you're such a hater, man. You're old now, innit?
Just drop the mic and say, can Taylor Swift moonwalk?
So you're right, we'd have to ditch turnstile sales stuff. But
I feel really guilty though, because as a consumer I would love this. I would love the fact that I don't have to kind of run out and spend £50 on popcorn, £150 on my hot dog.
Ask for a lemonade and you get told it's Sprite.
Exactly.
Shut up, man.
Yeah. Like getting upsold on the medium to large drink by about 20p kind of thing. It's just like I don't need a large, but it's only 20p.
Do you do that as well?
Oh,
so it's
man.
Like £5 for like the small. Where it's like a sip.
Yeah.
But if you pay 20p more, you get a half a gallon.
Exactly.
And if you pay 20 pence more again, you get a gallon.
Yeah.
So you're like,
I don't need it. And they catch me all the time. This is a sucker. Let's get him kind of thing.
And then you get that and you go, well, if you pay 20p more, you don't even get a meal deal. Yeah. And you're like, ah.
They get me every single time.
Yeah. But,
but the consumer in me loves this idea.
Do you think this could affect, like, honestly, this could affect premiere week? Yeah. Release sales.
And especially, it's going to be more detrimental to those big blockbuster films which are trying to recoup on the kind of like the production value of their films, like these whole massive Civil War films and the DC Universe films and all that. They've got a real vested interest to cream as much in those opening weeks, merchandise, and so forth. So I mean, I could be completely wrong here, but the bulk of their money has to come through at the box office as opposed to anywhere else. It can't be through DVD and merch sales, because it's not like that. I was watching the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film the other day, a brilliant film, and I thought about the money this film made compared to back in the day when we saw it as kids, and I thought to myself, the amount of money that would have been circulated would have been split amongst the toys, the comic books, the merch. It was literally fever pitch. Anyone who was around that time, the only thing close enough to it, maybe Pokemon, maybe Power Rangers, but there was nothing like Turtle Mania around the world at that time in terms of like the phenomenon for children. So movie makers were able to capitalize on that because they could piggyback off that success. Now that's not really happening. They have to concentrate all their financial hopes and aspirations on recouping off the turnstiles.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure. That's why you're getting all these directors kind of picking up scripts and like that. Like my reputation's in the line. some other poor schmuck can direct this film. I'm not going to look like an idiot.
And now more than ever, because of that pressure, they have to diversify again.
Yeah.
So you've got like, who's done that? Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So they've taken the studio that they filmed Harry Potter.
Go Black Harry Potter.
And they've turned that into a theme park. So that's the Harry Potter theme park. So they've now generated a whole level of income off that brand that the studio can now make consistent income every time that place fills out. As well as now when they do a new movie, that's a new section in your theme park.
I was getting excited. When you said diversify there and you said Harry Potter, I thought what's it going to do? Harry Potter and the Wizards of Compton? Right.
Harry Potter. They would never do that. I mean, the only way they took it to New York was way back in the day with Fantastic Beasts. That's the only way they took it to New York, boy. That's the only way they took it to the East Coast, let alone the West Coast.
Harry Potter in Brooklyn.
Harlem Harry. Nah, fat chance, mate.
So more than ever,
it's important to diversify. So you're right, because of all that pressure, they have to be able to either smash at the box office or you better be doing much.
I mean, which is fair enough, but how many studios can do that? I mean, it's funny because obviously I was reading the article recently on Get Out and the kind of the whole Jordan Peele phenomenon and everyone kind of looking at it. It's just like, okay, well, this is the proof we needed that small productions with an original script and a diverse cast can make that kind of can recoup that kind of production value. But now, if it looks like there are these plans to kind of release films within 3 weeks, then studios aren't going to take these risks that they're doing with Get Out because it's way, way, way too much of a shot in the dark to kind of put all their money.
Well, I think you're right. Like, that's why Get Out has such a shit budget compared to big films.
Yeah.
Because if it did flop, the studios would be like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it did so well.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah.
It had a mil or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The budget. Yeah. And for a film, a feature film of that size.
Yeah.
That's peanuts, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's peanuts.
Of course.
You get 100 mil thrown at a film.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever, just pay for it. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I don't want to be a killjoy, I think a lot of people are like, yay, see, look, this makes no difference to these guys, to these big ones are going to be like, all right, cool, but for every £1 million that we throw out at stuff we don't rate, how many of them turn out this much? See, that's a good one. You know what, Jordan Peele, you're now on the list of people who get 10 mil or 50 mil. Yeah. We trust you a bit now.
Yeah.
But even people that get big budgets can mess up. Like, you know, what's his Shyamalaya?
Midnight Shalyman.
Always get it wrong.
Midnight Shalyman.
That's not his name.
Midnight Shadow Man.
No, it's not his name. it's not his name.
Are you talking about Split, the film Split?
So
Split made a loss, didn't it?
So Split made a loss. Because let's not forget...
Split made a loss.
I feel really bad now.
Great Wall made a loss.
And everyone was like, oh my God, it's amazing. One sec.
What, Great Wall?
No, Split.
Oh.
Where is it? I'm literally...
Well, I've seen
sorry
Split.
And did you rate it?
Again, when we were talking with Lucy, I kind of expanded on...
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry. M. Night Shyamalan.
Man.
No, I want to say Shyamalan. But yeah, so he has made films like Signs, smashed it. Unbreakable, smashed it. The Sixth Sense, smashed it. Then The Village. Yeah, Frank's looking at me like, what? Then The Village. Whack film. And people forget that when you're like a bigwig in Hollywood.
Whack in what sense?
It didn't do very well.
Okay, money-wise.
I didn't like it. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it did do well. I've always whacked. But like, so After Earth, he made The Last Airbender.
He made After Earth?
Yeah.
With, The Last Airbender.
With Will Smith. The Last Airbender.
Okay.
Dead. So
Channel 5 like that.
Yes. Of course. So when you have bigwigs throwing money and investment at films, and they do well, that's great for Jordan Peele. And you know what? He wrote a wicked ass film from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I'm a pussy, so I'm not going to watch that film for a while until I'm in a very light room.
Yeah.
At home on the smallest screen that I have, so I don't get too taken into it. Yeah. But like, he did a great film.
But I believe, that film, its success is an anomaly.
Well, we will see.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, because Jordan, you know.
And I stand to that. I mean, they've earmarked him to be directing Akira now.
Okay.
And
That's a different genre though, isn't it?
Yes, anime.
Yeah.
And the thing with that is obviously you take something which is a proven fan base.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of like bank your chips a little bit higher because the returns can be a bit better.
Yeah.
But here it goes again. What that means is that this whole push of releasing films like 3 weeks after that, say 3 weeks, it's been in cinemas, go straight to DVD or straight to Sky Premiere or Netflix or whatever. It just means that the kind of films getting to cinema, we're not really going to see original titles. So original titles are going to be fast tracked to Netflix now.
Well, funny.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I should say that because Netflix has been producing original content, as we know, at increasingly steady rate.
Yeah.
And we said on the show a few times that we can see studio potential from Netflix in some way or another. Maybe not, like we've hinted at, it might not be conventional, but we look, you know, they're creating content now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they have got studio power. Mm-hmm. You know, they can sign checks to say, let's sign this off. They're respected by actors. They're respected by producers and directors.
Well, if they're giving Dave Chappelle $60 million, they've definitely got the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And they've only gone and hired the guy behind Ted 2, Killed a Messenger. His name's Scott Stuber. Now, if they want to be a studio, they're going the right way about it. They've produced a lot of content, but now they're employing actual directors.
Yeah.
That's a sort of move where I can sort of see Netflix potentially, if they see money in the model, maybe having a cinema release just to test the waters and see what it's like. And then maybe throwing it onto Netflix after 3 weeks. That could nullify what Warner Brothers and those guys want to do. Imagine Netflix could say, look, this is great. You will get first access after it's in the cinema for a couple of weeks. So they can coin in 2 weeks of £20, £10 a head, and then afterwards throw it on their Netflix service, which people are on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can get all of those hits as well.
Mm.
That's how I felt about it.
It's quite... We're going into a territory where Netflix are kind of going to become like the Apple of the the film and TV world. That they've kind of, they've circumvented all the big boys by going through TV and then coming back and then like, oh, you've got reinforcements now. And now all the big studios are backed up against the wall because like they've been asleep really for the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. And they haven't really understood the momentum that Netflix have been building. Yeah. But again, I'm never one for monopolies or these big that behemoth of companies coming out of the blue, because what that means is that you kind of get some sort of like this one market dump, this one big player kind of just controlling things. And when that happens, then you don't like it, because then they begin to control the pricing of the market.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope as soon as that happens, if it happens, somebody else comes along.
Well, they won't though, because there won't be any space left. Like it'll be too little, too late. At that point, where Netflix destroy the TV competition, Netflix have their own kind of Sky TV service or whatever, and you actually are on Netflix and you can watch, I don't know, Sky ones, do whatever kind of, like you've got that hub there, that centralized hub. Then they start putting out hardware. Then they start having their own Netflix studios like Warner Brothers. And they start doing their own kind of deals with studios like Marvel and Sony and breaking off a bit of your Marvel franchise, your DC franchise.
They're already doing.
Yeah, which they're already doing kind of thing. Because some of the DC franchise is on Netflix. So you kind of see that even companies like Marvel and DC, they have to play ball with Netflix because they've got too much of the market. When that begins to happen on an unprecedented level, then Netflix can start setting that $7.99 a month that you was paying, it begins to creep up a little bit more.
It was $4.99.
There you go.
$5.99, and then by the way, it's gonna cost more.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? But you know, I feel like at the same time, at this moment in time, Netflix is doing me no wrong. I got one there. There's fucking great films.
Yeah.
And it's as if they're checking out everything that I'm watching and offering it to me.
Yeah.
Which they obviously are. They're using all of my data to just make, when I go on there, at the moment, I'm really into my little sci-fi out there, a little films that are a little bit too out there, but then they consist of feasible things.
On a side note, though, Netflix have got to hold a big L.
Why? Oh, for Iron Fist.
Oh, bruv.
Piece of shit.
Bruv.
Piece of shit.
Bruv.
They need to reboot that. Can we reboot within a year? Can we reboot that? That was a piece of shit.
I've never heard of anything like...
Piece of shit.
That was really, really, really... I don't know how they signed off on that.
Piece of shit. It's a piece of shit. Sorry. Just the show is wrong. It just didn't work.
That is a big L.
It didn't work. It did not work.
As an introduction to a character's kind of expanding it to a wider audience, that made me hate the character even more. I hate you, Iron Fist. Oh, I hate you.
After all that work with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Daredevil, give me that.
Yeah.
And now you've gone and sewn him into the fucking fabric of the forthcoming set of stuff.
They have to change him. Because when they introduce Punisher into the equation as well, I think Punisher's going to beat him up in the series.
It was just, there was so much wrong about it that, you know, and I'm not the biggest Iron Fist geek out there, but I was thoroughly disappointed.
Neither am I. I'm literally, that is one character I'm on the fringes of. I needed to know more, and
it didn't make you want to learn more.
No.
I think we just got to leave it there. I'm just too disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm too disappointed. I just feel like, I don't know. Well, we're stuck with him for a while.
Yep. Who runs the world? Netflix.
Yeah. Just the fighting scene. Sorry. the way the Daredevil kicks ass, and then I watch Iron Fist, I'm like...
But it doesn't make sense, because they would have had the same choreography team.
But they would... The thing is, they're not, though, because they're using, like, different teams. Like, to get these all out in such tight things, they must be using different teams and obviously different directors.
They're using the same writers, though, because obviously it has to all tie in together.
There'll be some talk, but... I don't know. Do we just blame the acting then?
It's not the acting. I think it's for starters, the casting.
And the casting.
That guy is not believable to me.
Like, Luke Cage was unbelievably like Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Fist, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just.
Maybe we should save it for another show, but I think it kind of ties in with the whole dialogue kind of going at the moment with Iron Fist, with Ghost in the Shell, with, you know, I'm going to say as well, Doctor Strange and Tilda Swinton. That is a very interesting debate that I've been observing online as to the reasons behind it, obviously, to kind of like that studios feel pressurized to now access. It's not even to access. They need to hit the bullseye now. The odds are against them that they need to hit the bullseye of this pot of money, and they need to access the market who spends the most. And they feel that the way they need to access the market is obviously by showcasing representations which reflect the market they're trying to access, i.e. White Fist. Freudian slip. Iron Fist. Tilda Swinton playing a female white monk in Nepal, Kathmandu.
Mm.
Yeah. That's been there for, well. And again, kind of trying to push this diversity narrative, but also trying to kind of maximize sales at the box office. This is interesting, and obviously part of the whole kind of current dialogue is that the furore which kind of engulfed Ghost in the Shell was probably the biggest reason why it didn't do as well. My take on the issue is that Ghost in the Shell is such a bespoke and niche title that, and again, this is just playing devil's advocate, putting an Asian actress in that role, you would kind of be selling snow to an Eskimo. You're reselling something back to a market who has predominantly seen this title. I guess what that studio was trying to do was to kind of sell that back outwards and open up that market. So that would have been their thinking behind it. Because
getting Scarlett in there.
To get Scarlett Johansson to play the major.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
If you're going to take something like that,
yep,
play it true to the story,
yeah,
hit the people that are fans of it.
Yep.
Take the anime film, Ghost in the Shell, and point for point, copy it, and it's a live action version.
But that's my argument. Do you hit the fans if you're trying to maximize yourself? Because they don't want to get the fans. The fans are already there. They want to get the other people. That's what these studios are doing. That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of these studios, they don't actually care about the fans. They care about the other percentage of people who they want to try and get on board to max it. It's just become like a money-making...
Well, yeah. I mean, it didn't work in this case.
No.
So I'm probably running on those odds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, if I want to remake something that's originally from that country,
yeah,
I'd probably remake it with that style and then try and open it up to the world, whether imagine if they just did it in American English, all the dialogue in American English, that would have been a nice little you had an all Asian cast,
and the
protagonists, obviously, and then you had, like, you know, a slight twist in other characters, or just had it all in American English. There you go. You're not dissing the film, it's just in a different language. Do you know what I mean? Or it's like, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes you got to stay close to the story and represent that. And, you know, if you try and deviate, an example of when they stay close to story and it didn't work, Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fucking sick, way better than the what's his name, old version?
Sylvester Stallone.
Way better version. Yeah. And it just didn't seem to pop out the cinema. It did well afterwards.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to pop up after. But yeah, I think it's something we should definitely discuss in the future on the show. Now, let's see how Ghost in the Shell plays out. There'll be a few other releases this year where they try it. And yeah, it'll be interesting to pick up again. But this has been a juicy episode. I'm knackered, man.
Yes.
I'm knackered. We've got to get out of here. This has been Hard to Kill an Hour. He's been Funk Butcher.
He's been Marcus Bronzy.
And we don't like Iron Fist. But we like the... You know, my mate was on WhatsApp for half an hour, a long half an hour, trying to tell me that I was wrong, you know.
About what? Iron Fist.
Yeah, he's like, oh, nah, bro, amazing. Yeah. Much better than Luke Cage. Yeah. You know when you have to turn your phone off?
Yeah.
Much better than Luke Cage. I was like, bro, shut up, man. Shut up. Anyway, sorry. We'll get out of here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your ear holes for now. We'll be back with new ways to kill an hour real soon. Bless.